Our reading will be taken from Luke chapter 19, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and say, 'He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner.' Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, 'Look, half of my possession, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost.'" Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Go on and put your device down and go on and grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. They need to hear these words specifically from you. Grab them by both hands. Look them square in the eye, because they need to hear these words from you. Neighbor, the Lord has a plan
for you.
Neighbor, the Lord has a plan
for you.
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "The Lord Has a Plan for You." Now, there's something that we have to get through, because some of us struggle with that statement because of the fact that we have some regrets. We have some regrets about how we've lived, what we've done in our lives, and mistakes that we've made. And because of the mistakes that we made, some of us were able to put that behind us, press our way through, and are able to make changes. Others of us have regrets, were in the process of attempting to make the change. But since you've seen them in their mistakes, even as you see them attempting to change, Brother Billy, all you want to do is continue to remind them of what they've done and how this is all they're ever going to be. And because of that, it has caused some of us to become insensitive to others, mad with others, and don't want to deal with others, because I don't care a flying flute about what you're going through. Because you made me like this. I wanted to change, but you wouldn't let me. Now, when you think about that, what we have just done, if that is us, is we've allowed others, Reverend Rose, to tell us what we are and what we can and cannot be. We've allowed others to, in all actuality, write out what we're going to do in our lives because of what we had done in the past. And every time we try to pull our eraser out and erase it, they want to pull that pencil out and write it. And then some said, just to make sure, I'm going to write it in ballpoint ink. Or in some cases, I use a Sharpie that I know you can't erase. But what I am telling you is that if you allow them to do that, and you buy into what they are saying to you, then it will cause you to be insensitive. You will not be able to relate to others the way you ought to. Because you've just been hurt so bad. Then I look at this man, Zacchaeus, who lived in the town of Jericho, who was not just a tax collector, Dr. Aldrin. He was a chief tax collector. And he's rich. Now, if you are a Jew at that time, and another Jew, Lewis, decided to become a tax collector, everybody would turn their backs on you. Because they figure if you want to be a tax collector, you don't care nothing about us as your brothers and sisters as being fellow Jew. So if you are a Jew and want to be a tax collector, in essence, what you're telling us is you want to be a sinner. And if you want to be a sinner, you know, every time I could just see it now, because the brother started out, Deacon Elwood, he couldn't start out as a chief tax collector. He couldn't start out rich. He started out possibly wanting to do right by his brothers and sisters because he saw all the injustice that was happening, how they were being robbed by other folk. Let me go and do it and do it the right way. But folk can't see that. And because of it, all they could see was he's choosing to be a sinner. And the more he attempted to try to do right, some folk just told him he was wrong. And truth be told, in essence, I think if there was a point in his life, you know what he just said? To hell with it. Can we just be real? I know we're in church. I know you're holy. But some of y'all have used a whole lot stronger words than that word I just said. So what he did was he thrived to be the best tax collector. He thrived to make money. He thrived to get everything he possibly can get. He became insensitive to those who were insensitive to him. So guess what? He started taking more than what he was supposed to. He climbed up that ladder. And now he is chief tax collector. But all his brothers and sisters, fellow Jews, turned their backs on him. And we see it very clearly in this story. Because it tells us that when he got word that Jesus was coming, the crowd was there, and he's short. So you would think, Deacon Jones, since you know you 6'1", and somebody 5', no, you ain't 6'2". Oh, Lord. Oh, I got to mess with him. All right, you 6'2". Trying to figure out, I don't think you're 2 inches taller than me. But as we look at this, you would allow somebody 5', to just come and stand in front of you. Because they're not going to impede your view, but give them a view of the one who is able to do miraculous things. But the crowd, what we're seeing is what the story is telling us is how he was received by his own people. You know how he was received by his own people? He was. They had turned their
bunch of haters
on him. And since they turned their backs on him, he could not see Jesus. But why would a man who, based on earthly things, had everything he needed, why in the world did he want to see Jesus? Because based on how things are and based on how things were going, he had everything. As it tells us, he was in a prime position. He was in good with the Romans. And on top of that, the brother was rich. But still, he needed to see Jesus. You see, my brothers and sisters, I don't care how much money you got in your pocket. I don't care how big your bank account is. I want you to know that the material stuff still don't make you have a good life. I want you to understand, if you want to be able to wake up and just have a smile on your face, you know that it takes more than just some money. The money might let you have a more comfortable bed than other folk, but it still don't make you have a good life. You see, I want you to realize that material things are just that. They're material. They can't feel you. You can't feel them. You just might have a lot of it. But what we see in this man Zacchaeus is that he realized, I needed more in my life. And since he needed more in his life, he realized that he heard Jesus was coming out. There's something he knew about Jesus. See, what he knew about Jesus is that Jesus would talk with sinners. Yeah. Could you imagine how lonely this brother was? Yeah. The only four he could talk to was other tax collectors and sinners. So he wanted to see the man who was willing to talk to tax collectors and sinners. Sister Davis, he just wanted to see him for himself. And since the crowd had already turned their backs on him, nobody offered him a way to get past. You know what the brother did? He ran ahead, Brother Red, and said, I got to find a place. I'm thinking that Jesus is coming this way. And since he's coming this way, I'm going to run ahead. I'm going to climb that tree because I want to make it my business to see Jesus for myself. You see, my brothers and my sisters, there are some folk that turn their backs on you. There are some folk who have called you certain things. But what I'm telling you is you better go on and run ahead and get where you know you can see Jesus. I don't care what other folks say about you. You know that I need to see Jesus. I know my life ain't right. I know everything ain't tight. But I know that Jesus can make a difference. So I'm going to make it my business to run so I can see Jesus. You see, my brothers and my sisters, isn't that why we in church today? Isn't that why we're praising his holy name? It's because we all want to see Jesus. Because we know there was a time in our lives we was toe up from the flow up. We was lost in the sauce. But we thank God for his grace and mercy. And didn't Jesus come and see about us? Didn't Jesus come and bless us? Didn't Jesus come and turn us around? When you think about all that the Lord has done for you, there's no way you ever can sit there and act like it was not a big deal. But let's go on, let's go on, let's go on. We have to see something. Zacchaeus ran ahead. Now, if I can paint the picture, a sycamore tree. Little dude. But I want you to understand something, Deacon Booth. He had climbing skills. But you know what this also tells us, my brothers and my sisters? It takes effort to come to Jesus. You only can do what you can do. And then you let God do the rest. If that means that you got to climb, if that means you got to press your way through, if that means you got to go ahead, you do what you got to do. But I want you to know, no effort put in, no effort come out. We wonder why sometimes things ain't changing in our lives. What are you doing to make the change? You sitting there talking about it, but what are you doing about it? You see, my brothers and my sisters, God don't want anybody who's just going to talk about it. He wants us all to be about it. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm tired of talking. I'm ready to act on it. You see, I want you to understand, if you want to see how God is going to move in us, you want to see how God is going to move in this church, it's time for us to act on it. We got to stop talking about it. It's time for us to be about it. If you don't put forth no effort, you ain't not expecting nothing to come your way. The Lord is just waiting. How long is it going to take for them to get it right? Because I ain't doing nothing until they do. It's like having a car. Brand new car in the garage. But ain't no gas in it. No. Where's it going?
Nowhere.
Brand new. One of them brand new whatevers.
It could be an energy saver though, Pastor.
Uh-huh, yeah, right. Uh-huh, I'm hearing you. Well, if it's an energy saver, that means it's a hybrid or it's an electric. That means that you still ain't plugged it in, which means it still ain't got no juice. You ain't doing nothing to put no juice in it. If it's an electric car, it's going to take some effort for you to plug the car into the electrical cycle, into the electrical socket. So that means I don't care what you got, you better put forth some. You put forth no effort, you get nothing back. We have to realize today, my brothers and sisters, what is happening. Zacchaeus, little dude, looked at that tree. And as I was studying it, many of the theologians and within the commentaries, well, you know, the sycamore tree has a wide trunk, but it's not that tall, so it's probably, I don't care, yeah, that's nice. But it still took the brother some. He wasn't going to just stand by the tree and say, oh, I want to get up here where I can see Jesus' tree. You going to help me? And all the tree is doing is just being a tree. It ain't going to respond. What you need to get to Jesus is right in front of you. Now the question is, are you going to climb? So that you can see him for yourself? Or are you going to just stand there and wait for the tree to pick you up? Sounds silly, don't it? But that's what how some of us do in our lives. We constantly cry out to the Lord to help us, Lord. 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 Make a way for us, Lord. Make a way for us, Lord. The Lord has made a way. The Lord is ready to help you, but you just standing right there. You want the Lord to spoon feed you. But the Lord said, I'm not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. You see, when you can do what you can do, then the Lord takes care of the rest. Because I know I look at Mother Austin, 97 plus years old, and I know that this morning she might have had some aches and pains. I know them hips might have been messing with her. I know them knees might have been messing with her. But guess what? Mother Austin said, I don't care what goes on. I'm going to fight my way through. I'm going to make the effort to get to church because I know that the Lord's got a blessing for me. And I don't care what I got to go through. And Mother Austin wheeled herself to her car, got in her car, started her car, drove her car, got out her car, pulled her walker out her car, and she just rolled herself up in here. I want you to understand, for Mother Austin to get here this morning, it took a whole lot of. But I want you to know, you might not have those same aches and pains. You might be 30, 40, 50, 60 years younger than her. And all you got to do is stretch your arms, flip out the bed, throw some water on, throw some clothes on, run to your car, get in your car and come here. But that's just too much effort. Isn't that amazing? We got to understand something. You want to see the Lord work? You got to put forth some. So, let's move forward in the story. So getting back, Sister Rose, I use my spiritual imagination. That brother figured out how to climb up that tree, get on a branch that was strong enough to hold him, and realize, I don't care if there's all them folk are 7 feet tall, I'm still going to be able to see Jesus from this perspective. You see, I want you to understand something. Zacchaeus realized he had to elevate himself. Amen. In order to see Jesus, he had to elevate himself. He had to put forth some effort. And I want you to understand that the Lord wants us to elevate ourselves so that we can continue to see Jesus and see him from a different perspective. Because the Lord wants to grow his people. But his people got to be willing to want to grow. Got to be willing to want to climb. Got to be willing to step up rather than step forward. As we step forward, we got to learn how to step up, my brothers and my sisters. But some of us just don't want to take no kind of steps. And then we wonder why we ain't going nowhere. But what I'm telling you today, we got to step up. And why did he do it? Because he wanted to see the man who speaks to tax collectors and sinners. So while he's hanging out up in that tree, I see some folk who are walking in the crowd. Look up there, say, look at that. Look at that fool up in the tree. Oh, chief tax collector, Zacchaeus. I wish one of them limbs would break and that fool would fall and break his neck. Look at him up in that tree. I don't know why he up there. Oh, please, Jesus ain't got time for him. I don't even know why he trying to see Jesus. He done robbed so many folk. He's a tax collector. There's nothing good about him. This man is so bad, but he want to see Jesus. But Jesus is hearing all the grumbles, and Jesus is hearing all the mumbles, and Jesus is walking ahead. And it's amazing that Jesus made it a point to see where Zacchaeus was. Since Zacchaeus made an effort to climb up, we see the Lord made an effort to meet him right where he was. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I want you to understand something. You want to see God's divine plan work in your life, you got to put forth some effort. And when you put forth the effort, I don't care who talk about you. I don't care how they grumble about you. I don't care how they laugh at you. You don't know my story. You don't know my testimony. You don't know where the Lord brought me from. You don't know how he turned me around. You don't know how he made a way out of nowhere. You don't know how he got me up out that sick bed. You don't know how I'm in my right mind. You don't know how he keeps food on my table. You don't know how he keeps clothes on my back. You don't know all the Lord has done for me. You don't know all the stuff I done been through. But all through God's grace and mercy, I am still here. I'm going to put forth the effort. I serve a mighty good God. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand how good our God is? Somebody ought to say thank you. But hold on. Hold on. As Jesus sees Zacchaeus. He sees Zacchaeus in the tree. And you know what he does? He walks to where he sees Zacchaeus. He looks up. You see, Zacchaeus wasn't concerned about Jesus seeing him. He just wanted to. What I'm telling you is this. If you make the effort to want to see Jesus, I want you to know the Lord is going to. Oh, somebody going to work with me. Oh, somebody going to work with me. I'm going to take a few minutes here. If when you make the effort to want to see Jesus, Jesus is going to make the effort to. Now, you know what's interesting? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. I don't know how, but he know my name. Look at the scripture. It tells us that when Jesus was walking and he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree, Pat, he said, yo, you up there. He said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I need to stay with you at your house today. But you know what he said after he said his name Zacchaeus? He said the word hurry. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't here to waste time. You see what happens here? Zacchaeus was told that Jesus was letting him know, bro, I know your name. I'm staying at your house. But what I want you to do is hurry up and come on down here. You see, what Jesus was letting him know and what the Lord is letting us know right now. We need to hurry up and get to Jesus. When he calls our name, we better hurry up and come to where he is. Because I want you to understand, if you take some time or you wait a while, you're going to have some distractions. You're going to have some haters. You're going to have some folk who are going to try to deter you. That's why the Lord said, don't waste no time. Don't look left. Don't look right. Look right at me and hurry and get to me. Because I got something for you. And you'll get it when you come down. Because I'm going to go to your house today. That little dude, boy, he jumped up out that tree. You know what? I mean, if I could just use my spiritual imagination, the brother might have been 15, 20 feet. No, I wouldn't say 20. Maybe about between 10 and 15 feet up in the air. And when Jesus said, hurry up, come down. You know what that brother did? I don't think he climbed back down. I think he lowered himself down and he jumped. Because if he goes back down the tree, that means he's got to go back through the crowd. Ooh, somebody gonna work with me. You see, because the crowd was following Jesus. So if he tries to come and climb back down, the crowd wouldn't let him get to Jesus. So in order for him to get to Jesus, and Jesus is right there in front of him, and he tells him to hurry down. The brother wasn't going back down that way. I'm gonna jump right where I am. He said, I'm going to get to Jesus because I don't want no distractions. If Jesus said, come on, man, come to me, he might have climbed back down. But when Jesus said, hurry, I'm coming right where I am. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I want you to understand when the Lord says, hurry, it's time for you to come. Don't try to go back where you came from. Just drop where you are and see what the Lord is going to do. Because if you go back the way you came up, I want you to know that some folk will try to grumble. Some folk will talk about you. So wherever you are, just drop right down. Because the Lord wants you and he wants to talk to you. If he's right here in front of you, don't go left or right. Drop right down. One, he was blown away because he knew his name. Two, he wants to stay at his house. And in so many ways, I think that Zacchaeus wanted to change. Folk don't come seeking Jesus unless they want to. Isn't that why we came to church? Isn't that why we gave our lives to Christ? It's because we wanted to change. So tell me, we came because we wanted to change. And then tell me, why do we come here? And now that we're here, why do we fight change? But if we came because we wanted to. Oh, see, now y'all mumbling. See, I didn't hit something. If I didn't hit something, then I'd have got a, y'all would have been, like I said, half foot, half foot. But I ain't get that on what I just said. See. We done hit a nerve. But God ain't going for nerves. He's going for the heart. The Lord wants you to understand you came because you wanted a. See, like I said, some of y'all still ain't saying it. Now, you know, I can call out names, but I ain't going to do that to you. But what I want you to understand, you came because you wanted. See, now. I might have to go and look up another scripture to help y'all understand. Because y'all are struggling with this statement. The struggle is, it should not be. You see, the biggest struggle and biggest hurdle we had to overcome was to allow sin to no longer dictate to us, but for us to allow the Lord to have us. And once we came to let the Lord have us, we wanted the Lord to have us because we know that if we had continued on the path that we were going, we were going to go straight to hell. Not so much hell, but our lives are going to be chewed up, spit out, tore up from the floor up. And the thing is, you can't tell folk they're going to hell because some folk are living in. Come on, let's just be real about it. Their lives are so hellacious for you to tell them you got to make a change. You're going to hell. I'm already living there. Well, how can it be any worse than it is right now? But what you're saying is that, Lord, I want to be better. I want to be a better me for my wife. I want to be a better me for my husband. I want to be a better me for my children. I want to be a better me for those who I mentor. I want to be a better me because I just want to be better for me. So we all came to Christ because we wanted to be better. So in order to be better, I had to be willing to make a change. And since I came because I wanted to, then tell me, why am I now in God's house? I struggle with. See, it got a little lower. You can't come because of change and then close the door on change. Are you working with me?
Yes.
See, everybody ain't even say yes, so I know someone ain't with me right now. Y'all, let me tell you something. If you're here for any other reason than praising God, if you're here for any other reason to be progressive in your life, to be better in your life, then why are you here? I'm here because I want to be better. I'm hoping that that's why you're here as well. Thank God this choir can sing. Thank God we have us a hallelujah good time. But the purpose for us to be here is that, Lord, I don't want to be stagnant in my relationship with you. Lord, I want to grow in grace and mercy. I want to grow in understanding. I want to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, I want to know so I can grow, then I can what? Go. In order for me to be the best that I can be, Lord, because I know that I ain't going to be here on this earth forever. And since I know I ain't going to be here forever, I know that one day it's going to come, the door of life on this side is going to close. And when the door for life closes on this side, there's another door is open. Now, the door that's going to be open is going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the door I want to go through. That's what the greeting I'm looking to expect. I don't know about you. If you're not here expecting that greeting, I'm praying for you. Because I want you to know. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. This is temporary. And since this is temporary, we have to be progressive to get to the eternal. And the only way to get to the eternal is that you got to realize that you're not going to be here for, and I'm here so I can be. So that means I got to make some. Because of the change that I've made, that's a change that brought me in. But now that I'm in, I can't turn my back on.
Change.
See, it got quieter again. Am I making this up?
No.
Do y'all hear what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Y'all listen, I wouldn't be preaching if I ain't love you.
Amen.
I love you, and guess what? I hope you love me. But guess what? Jesus says, and I mean, we read in 1 John chapter 4, how can a man say he loves God whom he has not seen, but hates his brother, whom he sees every day? The truth ain't in you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Y'all, we are not here to play church. We are here to praise God. And since we're here to praise God, we got to understand what we do, why we do, and how we do. Change brought us. Change allows us to be progressive. Some of us came into the church. You just came because you wanted to change. And once you came into the church and changes happened, then you became and was put into a position of leadership. That also was a So that means that every time you look at what has happened in your life, things happen because there was a
change.
And then when you hear change now wanting to happen, you want to close the door because you don't want to
change.
You see what I'm saying? Y'all, change is progressive. We have to be progressive because we serve a God who is what? Progressive. And when I look at what happened to my boy Zacchaeus, what happened is then when Jesus told him to hurry down, the brother jumped down, he went to his house. But as he was going Jesus was going with him to his house, don't you know it tells us right here in scripture specifically, the people were what, y'all? They were grumbling. Why were they grumbling? Because they said, why Jesus is going to go to a house of a sinner? Why Jesus going to go hang out with a man that done robbed folk? You see, I want you to understand the Lord's got a plan for you. And I want you to understand everybody ain't going to understand the plan God has for you. Because the Lord has to do something in you. And he's not doing it whether or not people like it or love it. He's doing it because he's God and he's God all by himself. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. I want you to know when God has a purpose for you, when God has a plan for you, I don't care what other folks say about it. I don't care how they grumble about it. God's plan is what it is, and that plan is for me. So I want you to understand, others might not like it. Others might not like some of the stuff you did. Guess what? I ain't like some of the stuff I did, but the Lord has shown me what? Grace and mercy. And through showing me grace and mercy, the Lord is saying to me, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to allow you to get right, be right, and stay right. So in all actuality, God is all about change. Am I making this up? Did I deviate from what's in this word? It's right here before us. The folk were grumbling. Thank God. Thank God. Change has to occur. Now, what happens? Jesus goes and hangs out with Zacchaeus. See, Reverend Rose has played Jesus in a few of our plays, so I'm going to let him play Jesus now. So Reverend Rose, go on and stand up. Jesus, come talk. Come talk to Zacchaeus. Because he's in Zacchaeus' house. And as he talks to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus now has an awakening. And what happens with Zacchaeus? What happens is, in so many ways, you know what Jesus is for all of us, y'all? He's a mirror. You see, the purpose of a mirror is to allow us to see ourselves the way we. But the one thing I want you to understand about the mirror of Jesus, it is not just a mirror that's just one dimensional. You see, because this past week, I finally done did it, y'all. Because y'all know, brother, tight on money. I went to go buy a new suit. So while I was in Men's Warehouse, because you know I don't buy them from nowhere else, I looked in the mirror. But it wasn't just one angle I saw of me. I saw myself from the front, from the sides, and from the back. So Jesus is a mirror that shows us what we are. And a mirror that shows us on what we ought to be. So the Lord just doesn't show us where we are to smack us down. He shows us where we are to give us an awakening of what we can be. And in order for you to see what you can be, is that the awakening has to happen in you. And you got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm not satisfied with what I am right now. So I need to make a change. Did y'all hear that? And once he made that decision to make that change, Zacchaeus stood up. He said, Jesus, half of what I have, I'm going to give to the poor. And for every person, if I defrauded anybody, now you know he probably did. If I defrauded anybody, I'm going to pay them back what? Four times of what they were owed. You see, y'all, Zacchaeus had an awakening. The awakening that he had was to the plan the Lord had for him. And the plan that the Lord had for him was for him to be a person who had been a taker. But God says, you're now going to be a giver. So in essence, the Lord had brought to his life what? Change. And now that the change has happened, don't you know, the brother might give, God bless you, half of what he has to the poor. The brother might pay those back whom he defrauded four times. But what I want you to know, the brother's going to be richer than he's ever been before. Because I want you to understand that when you have an encounter with Jesus and you have an awakening, I want you to know that you are now connected with the Lord, because you recognize that the Lord is the only one who was able to do what he has done in your life. That you now have peace inside of you. And because of the peace of God, I know if I get right with God, that he will make everything right in my life. Isn't that why we came to the Lord? Because we wanted things to be right in our lives and we couldn't fix it ourselves. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understood the reason why I am here is because I couldn't fix it myself? I needed the Lord to fix it for me, but it wouldn't happen until I first had an awakening. And it's through that awakening that he realized he had to change. And since he knew he had to change, he realized that everything that he'd done that was wrong, he understood he couldn't fix it all. But he realized there was a part he could play. And I want you to understand, every child of God in here has a part to play. Every child of God in here has something they can give to the church. Everybody has a ministry. Everybody has gifts. Everybody has something that you can utilize to give God the glory. And what I want you to do is look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get up off it. You've been sitting on it way too long. Let me explain something to you. That building over there, it's not going to build itself. It's going to take what? Effort from God's people. So if you don't want to put forth the effort, ain't going to be nothing but some grass over there. You see, I want you to know where we are right now, this is training ground. This is training ground for where God's next level is for us. And just even when we get over that, there to that next place, that might not, that's just a level that we still want to continue to grow from. But you'll never know until you truly utilize the training ground that God has blessed you with. You see, when we understand where God is and what God is doing for us, my brothers and sisters, you got to understand that God has a plan for you. Now, what is God's plan for you? God's plan for you is to be the best you can be. God's plan for you is for you to live a life that's going to glorify him. God's plan for you is for you to be somebody that has courage. God wants you to stand up to what's right and do what's right and speak to that which is wrong. You got to understand that God wants you to be the best you possibly can be. Why? Because you had an awakening. You had a change because you know that you didn't get to where you are all by yourself. It was nobody but God's grace and mercy that brought you this far. Nothing but God's grace and mercy that's going to take you all the way. When you realize and recognize how good God has been, it's all because you had a what? Awakening. And through that awakening, you will be able to do and accomplish great things. Why? Because the Lord has a plan for you. And you know, after Zacchaeus made that statement, you know the thing that gets me excited? Jesus said after Zacchaeus made that statement, he said, salvation has come to this house. Do you see it right here in scripture? He says salvation has come to this house because Zacchaeus has come to the realization that I got to surrender all to the Lord. All to thee I owe. I surrender all. Lord, I don't want nothing that is not going to glorify you. So Jesus said, now that you surrendered and now you want to be saved, watch and see how I'm going to make a difference. Not just to you, but to everything and everybody in this household. Because they see the awakening in you, it's going to cause them to wake up. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God don't need no more folks sleepwalking in church. God need more folk who are awake in church. God wants you to be in church wide-eyed, which with all the wax cleaned out your ears. He wants you to be able to see clearly. So if you need to get some glasses, I think there's an American Best or Pearl Vision or whatever you can go buy glasses at. But the Lord don't want you to be here half blind and half asleep. He wants you to be wide awake, see it all, hear it all. If you need to go see eye, ear, nose, throat doctor, because he wants you to realize, he wants you to understand and be open and see him at work. Because why did Jesus come? I came to seek out and to save the lost. He said he came out. He came to what? Seek out. And to what? So when he saw Zacchaeus up in that tree, Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus out. But in all actuality, Jesus already seeked him out. And Jesus was going to meet him right where he was and bring him to a place he had never been before. Isn't that what the Lord has done for us? Isn't our God a miraculous God? Isn't our God somebody who has taken nothing and made something from it? Isn't our God someone who allowed us to go and experience things we thought we never could experience? You remember all them years you was working out there in that farm? You was doing all that back-breaking work in that hot sun, trying to get heat from that pot-belly stove, going out to the creek to go get that water. You now that down, you look at all that, you were saying in your life, this got to change. I can't keep doing this for the rest of my life. And look at the Lord. Look what the Lord has done for you. Look where the Lord has you at. You ain't got to throw no wood in the stove. If you do, it's your fireplace. But you got heat in your house. You got air conditioner. You got running water. You got a refrigerator. You got a freezer. You got everything you need. Do I got anybody that knows what I'm talking about? Anybody knows how good God has been to you? Go on and just take a moment and give God some praise, because you know the Lord has a plan for.
Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord.
You see, my brothers and sisters, God's got a plan. He got a plan for you. And then he's got a plan for us.
Thank you, Lord.
But before the us plan can happen, the you plan must happen. And the you plan is him getting you to have an awakening.
Amen.
So that you will have the courage to come forward to make the changes. And as you make those changes, the Lord will show you, don't ever close the door on change.
Thank you, Lord.
That was just that change, but there's many other changes that are going to occur.
Amen.
And if you are open to my will and my way, I will show you how awesome that I am. I will show you all the great things I will do. I will show you that it won't always be easy, but I will make a way out of no way. I will show you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I will show you how I will wipe away your tears, and I will give you peace and be able to go to sleep at night. I will show you how good I am. Why? Because I see you. I see you for who you are. I see you for what you're going to be. My brothers and my sisters, I want you to understand, other folk in your life might have given up on you, but I want you to know God will never give up on you. As long as you got breath in your body, he sees you. He wants you to be more than what you think you are. No matter how they've labeled you, no matter how they talked about you, no matter how they laugh at you, no matter how much stuff they know, you might have a million regrets, but it's all right. The Lord, through his blood, he has washed them all.
Thank you, Lord.
Away.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
But all you got to be willing to do is experience him. Have your own awakening. And through your awakening, you will realize the Lord has a plan for you. But in order for that to even transpire, you must first do what you can do. Then let God do the rest.
Yeah.